Hi, this is Brian Castillo.
This is Grant Amen.
Hi, I'm Bubba Fairman.
Hi, this is Ashton Olt.
This is Brendan Curry.
Hi, guys, this is T.D. Irwin.
Hi, this is Michael Sowers.
Hi, this is Mac O'Keefe.
And you're listening to
the D-Flying Dixie Podcast.
To the D-Flying Dixie Podcast.
To the D-Flying Dixie Podcast.
To the D-Flying Dixie Podcast.
It's on Inside Lacrosse.
Welcome back to another episode of the D-Fly and Dixie Podcast, featuring Big Ten Network, Inside Lacrosse Analyst, and my homewood homie, Mark Dixon. I'm your host, Dan Flynn. Dixie, let's get it. It has been a long time since I've been able to say those words, and I stumbled over them a little bit.
Yeah, you did. You're rusty.
I'm rusty.
Big time.
Definitely rusty. Yeah.
I almost didn't recognize. I was like, who is this? What is your name? And what are we doing?
Well, in this new world, we're all so accustomed to Zoom that one of our biggest arguments we ever had was I wanted you to come do this in person so I could see you and talk to you and look at you while I was talking to you. And so we could kind of like vibe off of each other. And who knew that we would have this platform that everyone would be so used to using a few months later? Where was this a few years ago? We could have been Zooming all of these and recording stuff on the regular for people who want to hear what we have to say.
Never mind years ago. I mean, it only took us 8 months to figure out that we could do a Zoom.
Yeah.
With the major pause in the D-Fly Dixie podcast. I think it's important to note, by the way, good to see you. Good to hear you. Unlike what people think, we don't keep in regular contact. We're like a rock band that way. When we're on tour, when it's in season, we're with each other, lockstep. But you know, when we say goodbye and it's the off season or a pandemic, we let's face it, you don't want much to do with me. So I can't blame you.
Well, don't feel bad, Dix. I haven't been seeing much of anybody. And you didn't even realize that we could have this conversation over Zoom until I suggested it to you.
That is true. So, well, but let's who approached you, about doing a very special Thanksgiving podcast, Thanksgiving edition of the D-Fly Dixie podcast?
Yeah, because even during this year from hell, 2020, we all have a lot to be thankful for and grateful for. So we thought we'd get together and have some fun and talk. So Dix, let me give you an update. I wrote down some notes about since we did our last podcast. This is kind of what's happened.
Okay.
The Ivy League canceled their season. Then other leagues followed. And the NCAA said, we're not going to have a tournament. And then the rest of the school said, you know, we're not going to play either. And then high school lacrosse was canceled. And then we were all just just flat out sad. Then Hopkins parted ways with the legend Dave Petromala. Then they hired Peter Milliman. Then summer tournaments were, some were canceled, some were postponed. And then they had summer tournaments. And one particular pro league got their act together and knocked it out of the park with some good entertainment in the middle of the summer. And then there were some more summer events. And then there were some fall events. And then the recruiting came around, like September 1st deadline. And that brought some excitement to the lacrosse world again. And then there were no fall tournaments for NCAA. You know, the schools, some schools are playing, a lot of schools aren't, some schools aren't on campus. And then there were some fall club tournaments. And then here we are today. That pretty much sums up the lacrosse season.
All right, guys. Well, hey, if you liked what you heard, I'll see you in 8 months, right?
Yeah.
No, that's the thumbnail sketch right there. So yeah, let's rewind a little bit. I think the last time we spoke, second week of March, I was getting ready to do the Maryland-Virginia game on the Big Ten Network. As a matter of fact, I had spoken to Coach Tillman. I had spoken to Coach Tiffany on the Wednesday of that week. Thursday rolled around. Wednesday, they were still confident that they were going to play. Thursday, it was announced that they would play, but no fans. And then Friday's when I think the whole world shut down. So that would have been like Friday the 13th, I think, because that was a March 14th game. So, you know, you're talking, at least in my world, that lacrosse game was canceled. The Big Ten tournament, that was going to be, I think, the second day of the Big Ten basketball tournament, men's basketball tournament. It was literally 10 minutes before tip-off of the first game of that Friday session. And that's when word came down that, no dice, we're not playing. You know, and then everything that you mentioned throughout the rest of the spring, the summer, the fall, now here we are at Thanksgiving. And where have we moved? How much closer have we gotten to normalcy? I mean, you know, the world in general, but in particular for us, the sport of lacrosse. I was very fortunate. My kids were incredibly fortunate to have a full summer of lacrosse. They played in at least 3-4 tournaments each. My younger son was fortunate enough to make the Baltimore Under Armour team, the command team. He played in that event, sponsored by Corrigan Sports. And then
That was moved around. Yeah, it was in September rather than.
Well, they went to a different format. So normally you have the big weekend, and this year they did super regionals. So he played in early August, and his regional was DC, the South, and the Baltimore group. And then, you know, then you had other pockets of regionals, and then they did a national, like, quote unquote, all the winners of the super regional came together in Virginia Beach back in October. And that was fun. He also had the opportunity to play in a first year event, the National All-Star Games, Nike National All-Stars. That was supposed to be in June. That was moved to September in Delaware. And then that week, Delaware, Maryland was on the quarantine list, as was New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. So they moved it to Poolsville, Maryland. So they were able to get that off. But that was a great event, the Nike National All-Star Game. So my younger son, Owen, had a couple more events. My older son, Matt, who is now a graduating senior, he got to say goodbye to his club teammates at Crab Feast, was their last get-together. And then both my boys were fortunate enough to play in a National High School Lacrosse Showcase in the summer. Not as Loyola High School, because it was not a school sponsor. So I think they were Don Squad. They went to the semifinals of that game. But what was really cool is my boys got to play together for the first time on a team since they were, gosh, I think maybe 8-6, 7-5. And that semifinal game was on ESPN3. So Mike Corey, Bob Shriver, Quint Kesnick called the game. Both my boys had good games. So that was pretty cool as a dad to see. But by and large, great to see these high school athletes out playing in these club tournaments, both on the boys and the girls side. College, though, college continues to be problematic on the lacrosse side of things. You know, just you mentioned the Ivy League. They were the first major league in Division I to drop lacrosse last year. They've already canceled their winter sports. So who knows if they're going to allow their schools to play lacrosse this spring? It could be a moot point. Yeah, because most of those student athletes are home, right? They're not even in school, enrolled.
Yeah,
right now.
They also said the Ivy League would not start any spring sports until at least the end of February.
So and that means practice, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So it'll be some type of abbreviated season, unless it's pushed, you know, past May.
Well, so this is what I understand, and I'll use Princeton as an example, because Inside Lacrosse did a story on Princeton, and your nephew is
I'm actually
at Princeton. Is he at Princeton or is he still home?
No, he's I'm glad you bring them up as an example, because this is the one school that I know what's going on. he's a freshman. He's enrolled in classes, but there's no on-campus learning at Princeton this fall.
So is he living
Charleston,
in Princeton, New Jersey, in virtual, or is he at home in where's he live?
Neither. He's from southeastern PA.
Right.
He's with another group of Princeton kids in Charleston, South Carolina.
What?
Yeah, they're having a great time. My sister said he's just missed out on so much stuff. And I felt like, why wouldn't we let him do this? But I don't know if it's the best decision that I ever made, setting him away there. So
meanwhile, this is, oh, breaking news. Coronavirus cases among young lacrosse players is up in Charleston, South Carolina. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So there's a group of Princeton freshmen, sophomores who were there, mm-hmm. and some of the older kids are out in like Park City, Utah. I think there's brothers or something who are from there. So half the team's in one place and half the team's another. I think there's some kids at home. A bunch of the Princeton kids also deferred their enrollment to next year. So if they were to have a team in the spring, they only have 25 guys available for their roster.
Right.
Now, Coach Malon believes that they will be able to field a team. They have the positions work out. But I remember talking to my sister back in the spring when the schools were trying to start planning for the next year. And that was a big question. My sister was asking, you know, she wanted my opinion and some other people, whether there'd be a spring season in 2021. Should Michael Gianfacaro go to school? Should he enroll? Should he skip, wait a year and enroll with some other kids? You know, what would that freshman experience be like not being on campus? At the time, I think Princeton was going to have their freshmen and juniors on campus in the fall and then allow sophomores and seniors to live on campus in the spring. And then if you had a housing available to you, you could still live there and attend classes, but they weren't going to offer campus housing. A lot of that has since changed. They're still hoping to play, but I don't know. I mean, it's all up in the air. It's all up
so,
in the air.
So, okay, Princeton, the Ivy League says we're playing. And let's say they set a start date of mid-March. And let's say it's only conference games, which at this point I think folks would take that. Would your nephew be eligible to play?
Yes.
He would?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he has decided that he would want to play.
Right.
So he would play this spring with this other group of 24 other guys who would be enrolled this spring.
Because he's enrolled and he's taking classes.
Yeah.
That's why he would be eligible to play this spring, right?
Correct.
So I think the other half of the men's team, and I know this applies to their women's team as well, they are not enrolled in any fashion.
They're taking a year off.
A gap year or a sabbatical or whatever. Now, those student athletes, if Princeton decided to play, they would not be eligible to play in the spring of 2021, correct? Because they're not enrolled in the school right now.
Well, I think it's semester by semester. So they could enroll. They could take off the fall semester and then enroll in the spring. I think they could. Can.
Okay.
But that's, I think a lot of those kids already made their decisions and they're either doing something else where, I don't know, maybe they took a job or made a commitment or do some research or study something else for a gap year. And they've sort of said, we're not going to do it.
Right.
We're not going to play.
So I know a lot of people want our opinions on, will there be a season in 2021? I have no clue. I have no idea. If you want to take it conference by conference, we just hit on the Ivies, right? So I'd say Ivy is maybe 50-50 at this point.
Yeah. And then there's other schools like Johns Hopkins who have said we're going.
Hold on. Hold on. Let's go conference by conference. It's been 8 months. You're getting excited. Let's go conference by conference.
Okay. Let's go to the Big Ten then, Dix.
So you're done with the Ivy is what you're telling me.
I think we discussed this.
Okay. All right. Well, fine. I thought you wanted to go a little more in depth. I thought you had 8 months of information pent up, but I can see that we're still as shallow as always, but that's okay. No. Okay. Big Ten. I feel good about the Big Ten. Main reason, they're playing football. But the caveat, and you were just about to say it,
what I was saying, what is encouraging is a school like Johns Hopkins had nobody on campus this fall and canceled all their fall sports. But in the spring, they've said in January, they're going to try to bring students back to campus to have on-campus learning.
Right.
Now that's the plan. I think I just saw something in the last week about that from the president of Johns Hopkins. But we'll see where that goes. I think it's an encouraging thing for lacrosse fans, Blue Jays fans, and Big Ten lacrosse that we know that the other five Big Ten schools that all have football teams playing currently It's not like they haven't had their challenges.
Sure.
And had to cancel some games and quarantined and shut down their facilities. But, you know, there are kids living on campus and going to school virtually, but able to train and able to practice. And that is encouraging.
Absolutely. And the challenges aren't necessarily the worst thing in the world, because now the schools see what it looks like. What do you need to do to get back on track, quote unquote? You know, University of Maryland, as we're recording this podcast, they've had what, their last two games canceled? Ohio State, Michigan State.
Yeah.
But Hopkins, as you mentioned, not only are they not open for anything academically this fall, those lacrosse players aren't even allowed to set foot on Homewood Field or the back practice field to have a game of catch. So their facilities are completely closed down. Whereas the other, you know, you look at, just go on Instagram and you could see Ohio State has had practices, and at the very least in pods or whatever the case may be. Penn State, similar. Michigan, similar. So Maryland as well. Rutgers. So we'll see. I feel good about, I'm bullish on the Big Ten playing lacrosse in 2021, as I'm bullish on the ACC playing too. Again, they're playing football. Not only are they playing football, they're playing soccer in that conference as well, men's and women's. So I think that's
encouraging. And these same schools in the ACC and the Big Ten, they are determined to have a basketball season as well. They need to. The NCAA needs to be able to host March Madness next year, or the entire college sports world is in a world of hurt. So
sure.
That's encouraging. So let's move to some of the other conferences.
Big East.
You know, what are your thoughts on some of those?
Well, you know, so Big East basketball conference. So if basketball does go off, I think that's incredibly encouraging. I have seen social media of schools like Georgetown, Villanova, Marquette having fall ball. So I think, again, just the fact that, okay, they didn't play any competition, but the fact that they were on the field, the fact that they were able to have some practice, and it was a buildup for most places from all the reports that I've gotten. You know, they start in pods, groups of 6 to 10. And then if they get through a week, week and a half of practice, no positive test, okay, now we can maybe go half field. Maybe we can do 6-on-6, you know, to where you have those 12 people in that confined area over that group of 10. So I'm encouraged by the Big East. I'm also encouraged by the CAA, the Colonial, you know, Delaware, Towson, Hofstra. I've seen social media of those teams practicing and talk to people associated with those programs of the kids practicing. So those are four conferences that I feel, I mean, look, we're back in what's being called a surge, a rise, a this and a that. I think baked into all this is the possibility that we could have a vaccine by the end of the year. If it gets fast-tracked by the FDA, which can happen, potentially this is a moot conversation in terms of if there's a vaccine widely available by, again, this could be pie in the sky, but let's say February timeframe, we could be looking at business as usual come March for college lacrosse. I don't know. That's a lot of what ifs, but I don't know. What do you think?
The idea of a vaccine is really appealing. We know that it'll be in relative short supply, and healthy college athletes would probably be low on the list of the first groups of people to get it. You know, I think it's obviously going to go to first responders, medical people, yep. And, you know, at-risk communities, whether it's seniors or people with pre-existing conditions who can't really do much without a vaccine. And then even we don't know the actual distribution of the vaccine. You may need to get two doses, and that'll just take time. So again, a lot up in the air, but it's
just saying, if you get those at risk, that's what we're worried about, right? That's so yeah. we're worried about the student athletes playing football against each other and then going to see grandma and grandpa or going to see, you know, whomever might be at risk, immunocompromised, existing pre-existing conditions, those kinds of things. If those folks are taken care of, then really shouldn't be worried about the student athletes, you know. I don't know. That's one way of thinking. I know there's a lot of layers to this maze, if you will, but I don't know, man. I am choosing to be optimistic at this point because there's been a lot of crap that's happened over the last 2 weeks that has a lot of people feeling really discouraged, really disappointed.
Yeah, so let's move on to something a little more uplifting, possibly.
Not Springsteen, I hope.
No,
even after this pandemic, I still don't like Bruce Springsteen, just letting you know.
Dix and I want to thank everyone for putting a lot of good questions out there. Dix made on Twitter, said we were going to do this. And thank you for a lot of people. We're very happy that we're doing this, Dix.
Let me tell a couple stories. Now, okay. So it's been 8 months. Okay. Nike National All-Star Game. I'm standing watching my son Owen and his Baltimore team play. I think they were playing in the quarterfinals, semifinals against the Pacific Northwest. And I hear this Mark Dixon behind me. I turn around, really tall guy. Didn't recognize him. I'm like, yeah, how you doing? He's like, Craig Hampton. I'm like, Craig Hampton? So Craig Hampton is a classmate of yours. A friend of mine from Johns Hopkins, class of 93, Minnesota guy, played hockey. Remember him? Remember Craig?
Yeah, of course. I remember Craig.
So his son, Brendan, was playing. He's a West Coast kid, plays for Seattle Stars, West Coast Stars. He was representing the West.
That's a good team. Seattle Stars is a good program.
Really good teams. And just got to talking. And he's like, yeah, listen to your podcast. See you on TV, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, cool. And of course it's like, hey, so I know what you're up to. Or I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm up to. What are you doing these days, Craig? Well, I'm a heart surgeon in Seattle. Of course you are. See, that's what Hopkins guys do. They become doctors for the most part, except for you and me sitting around with this dopey podcast. But okay. Then I'm at the Be More Fall Classic. Again, Owen's playing for Crabs. And I'm watching the game, and a gentleman comes up behind me, and he said, you sound like Mark Dixon. Are you Mark Dixon? And I was like, yeah, how are you? And gentleman by the name of Jimmy Tom, and his son was playing for West Coast Stars. And the West Coast people are just so friendly, you know. Most of the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, they hear my voice and they want to come beat me up and tell me I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But folks from the West Coast, so a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Tom, he goes, I love your guys' podcast. I miss it so much. And I'm like, what's your favorite part? He's like, the food. He goes, I've been to Tawny Town in Catonsville 20 times since you told me, it wasn't 20, but since you guys, I'm like, and what'd you think? He's like, I love it. It's great. I'm like, what'd you get? He's like, the number 17, of course. I'm like, oh, great. So, and everybody asked the question, when are you guys coming back? When are you guys bringing the podcast back? So those are just two stories of people who have missed our podcast and are probably going to be happy that we're back.
Jimmy Tom, also a doctor. He's an anesthesiologist.
Yes. Yes. He didn't go to Hopkins, though, as far as I know.
We have a high-end listener base, Dix.
We do. We're very highfalutin that way. That's why we're the number one rated podcast on Inside the Cross, right? That still hasn't changed, by the way. Pandemic can't take that title away. So,
Dix, a couple of guys I want to recognize in particular who have been loyal listeners of this podcast and have reached out to us through social media or other means. On my end, Craig McMichael, thanks for listening. Great connecting with you. Michael Buono, love following your kids. You've been a really good friend as well. And my old friend, Brian Remortel. Always like when I see you liking something D-Fly and Dixie related on Twitter or social media. How about you?
Oh, man. Right off the bat, Coach Ted Moon, guy. I saw Coach Moon Virginia Beach when I was down there working the All-American event. And one of the first questions that he asked me was, where the hell's the podcast? So shout out Ted Moon and Rob Bavar. His son plays at McDonough, and his son is a teammate of my son, Owen, on Crabs 2023. And Rob is always, you know, whenever I've seen him over the summer and the fall, he's, where's the podcast? You know, so those are two loyal listeners amongst many of the loyal listeners that have made us the number one podcast on Inside Lacrosse. Well, what have you been doing to keep yourself sane? Like, before we get to the questions of our fans, what have you been doing? What does the life of Dan Flynn look like? Well, what are you eating? I guess is another question.
What am I eating? Oh, whatever I can get my hands on. I've been able to exercise quite a bit, so there's nothing holding me back. Well, you know, I lost about like an hour of commuting time, like a lot of other people, especially during the pandemic.
Right.
So I'm able to transfer that time into, you know, exercise or just getting out and walking in the woods or, you know, where I live, there's lots of paths and trails, ride my bike, you know, a lot of that stuff, a lot of family time.
Or an extra half hour of Schitt's Creek.
Great show.
Awesome show.
Again, I think I've just spent a lot of time with my family. I really enjoyed it.
Right.
Become a little bit more handy. Taking on some home projects. I installed a ceiling fan and I fixed my dryer.
Was that crash I heard right when you logged on to Zoom here? The ceiling fan?
I've been doing some electric stuff, which I would have been really scared to do.
No, really scared to mess with.
But
No, stop. Stop.
I have.
Clark Griswold.
Stop. I haven't killed myself yet.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because I just, you know, because I can. I have the time.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed.
You have the time to electrocute yourself. Great. I have the time to run in the street and get hit by a car, but you don't see me doing that.
And cooking. I've been making a lot of food.
Really?
Yeah.
What have been your signature dishes?
You know, a lot of pastas, a lot of grilling, especially.
A lot of grilling, yep.
But lately I've been putting the instant pots to good use with braising some meat. I did
a crock pot.
Like a pork ragu over some parpadelli pasta. Oh, it's amazing. And a beef stew. And that's in the last couple of weeks. And I made some chicken soup in there. So really easy to use and makes things a lot faster. The Instant Pot pressure cooker. Highly recommend it.
Excellent.
Pandemic times.
Yeah. Still sane?
Yeah.
Doing okay?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
Okay.
All this time without lacrosse, you know, in your other job, you've been working on that vaccine, right?
No, my company is not involved in that. But no, man, it's so what have I been? I mean, so back, you know, I still did a bunch of lacrosse stuff, did interviews with all six of the Big Ten coaches via Zoom, did a couple things called the video recalls. You can look that up on YouTube. Did one with 2017 Maryland, Ohio State, Big Ten championship game. And that was me interviewing and watching the game, watching like a segment of the game. I think we watched the fourth quarter along with Colin Heacock, Matt Rambo, and Connor Kelly. So that was entertaining. And then I did a video recall with the 2018 championship game, Maryland Hopkins, with the Hopkins guys that won that championship. So that was Kyle Maher, Brock Turnbull, and Shaq Stanwyck. So you can find those on YouTube if you're interested. And then we did the fourth quarter of that game as well. So, you know, did a bunch of lacrosse stuff, chasing my kids around this summer with lacrosse. A lot of virtual, man, with my job. A lot of work, a lot of virtual. Did a lot of reffing, did more reffing than I have, you know, maybe in the past summers and the fall with some lacrosse. And like you, you know, spending a lot of time with my family. We had a patio built out back and we got a fire pit. But yeah, man, so a lot of work, a lot of creative meals in the beginning of this thing. But as time wore on, it's kind of getting fed up, you know, with that. But have you been inside of a restaurant to have a meal since the pandemic started?
One.
Yeah. We've been about a half dozen. About a half
been
dozen.
Outside a couple times.
Been a like bunch
on
of
a patio kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was like an indoor-outdoor type of space. You ever been to Ananda, the Indian restaurant?
No, but I heard it's great. I've never been
there. Yeah, they have a big dining room that has like the roll-up doors. So, I mean, I was sitting like by a railing, but it's got like a hard roof. It wasn't a tent, let me put it that way.
Okay.
So that's my only indoor dining experience.
That is one thing I miss is the Indian buffets around Baltimore for lunch. No more Indian buffets.
Yeah.
Shout out Namaste on Cold Spring Lane. Great, great. Shout out Royal Taj in Columbia.
Oh, Royal Taj. That's
the Bah, Mac Daddy. That you gotta guy. Break your hand, though. The guy, like, the.
Love that guy.
That guy's great. Gives you big bear hugs. He shakes your hand, but literally, he's gonna crack every bone in your hand.
I can go there like once every 6 months. My wife goes there a lot, but I go there like once every 6 months with her.
I've seen Amy in there before.
And the guy's like, hey, he remembers.
Hey, buddy.
He's good. He's very good at his job.
Oh, he's excellent.
A lot of charisma, a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Hey, Dix, got a question from one of our listeners, John Behrens at JB Leadership. Wants to know how the extra year of eligibility is going to impact on recruiting. Now, your son is 2021, and you kind of fall into what that experience could be with, you know, kids coming back, maybe money being a little tight at certain schools or spots, roster spots.
Right.
And then, you know, like a normal recruiting class, say of, let's say 10 guys, that has to be smaller because, you know, you got guys coming back and you got to cap your roster in some spots. So what are your thoughts on that? And how do you think it'll impact recruiting?
I think it's a mess personally. And, you know, just that arbitrary extra year. What if the kids don't play in 2021? Do they get another year? You know, so in essence, are you going to have 6 year guys? It remains to be seen. I think it was a knee jerk reaction by the NCAA that really wasn't that well thought out. That being said, shout out Matt Dixon, signed his national letter of intent to play at Loyola University in Maryland.
Congratulations.
2 weeks ago. Congrats. Yep. Or no, what it was. Yeah. Going on 2 weeks ago. So that was really, really excited and happy for him. I mean, I can tell you his experience at Loyola University. So he's the 2021 class at Loyola is 8. And I think originally they were looking at 10 to 11, but then when the pandemic hit and Loyola doesn't move typically as fast as maybe some other schools traditionally, I think they made the decision to keep it at 8. I think they may have taken one more player, but typically they keep it at 8. They're kept it at 8. Now the 2022 is a little bit different. You know, the 21s, I think, for Loyola got their last commit, I want to say maybe in July or August of this year. And that completed that may have been the 9th player in the class, if I'm not mistaken. But I think they may have 10 kids now. I mean, we're talking middle of November, you know, end of November in Loyola. And I don't know if they're done, but the 22s were much different in that, you know, the recruiting time was abbreviated because whereas you would have a month, 2 months, whatever your time was to take all your visits physically, there are no visits physically. So, you know, you're Zooming with, you know, North Carolina Monday morning, Monday afternoon, you're Zooming with Denver, you know, and all that, you know, the weekends are gone. So now it just becomes, you know, what was a process that may have taken weeks or months is now taking days. But, you know, I'm not sure what everything is going to look like. I just think that everything is so gummed up right now with the missed season of a year ago. And then whatever things are going to look like this year, what does the NCAA do if the Ivy League completely cancels? What do they do if, let's say, the SoCon completely cancels, but the Big Ten plays, the Patriot League plays, the Big East plays? What if Marquette, Denver, Villanova, Providence play, but Georgetown and St. John's don't? What do you do there with that? So I just think the NCAA really opened up Pandora's box with this extra year of eligibility. I don't think it was really well thought out. I know I guess on the surface, it seems like they had, quote unquote, the best interest of the student athletes at heart. But in the end, it's just, it's a real headache, I think, for the student athletes, for the administrators, for the coaches, for all those folks. So there's still a lot to unfold in that regard.
And one place where we've really seen an impact is in the Ivy League, where kids can't play a fifth year. So we've seen some grads.
Well, it depends on the school, right? It depends on the school. So a guy like Michael Sowers was not allowed to play a fifth year at Princeton, but Jeff Teat is welcome back for a fifth year at Cornell, right? Like Sowers, I guess the deal was he was going to do the Rob Pinnell move. He was going to drop out of school and then re-enroll. And I guess Princeton told Michael Sowers, you can drop out, but there's no guarantee you're getting back in. Whereas I think it's a little bit more lenient on the Cornell. I think, so I guess what I'm trying to say, and I might, look, forgive me, I may have the specifics incorrect, so I'm going to preface that, but it seems like there isn't a uniform rule in the Ivy League. It seems like it's institution by institution versus a league-wide rule. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think in general, they keep a principled rule.
Well, it's a semester, right? It's a semester count? Yeah,
semester count. So okay. I think like T.D. Erland can come back and play.
Because he was a transfer.
Yeah, but it is case by case. But in general, they that whole group of schools in the Ivy League tries to play by the same rules.
Gotcha.
But it has put some great talent and relocated it to other places.
Yeah.
Like Michael Sowers playing at Duke. I mean,
Jackson Morrill and Lucas Kotler at Denver.
And Dix, one last question also from John Behrens was
question? There were like a bunch.
Yeah, so he wanted to know about extra year of eligibility impact on recruiting, grad school transfers. He wants to know if Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is worth watching.
You know, I'm familiar with Charlie Brown, the Great Pumpkin, the Halloween special, but I'm not so sure about the Thanksgiving. Educate me on that. Have you ever seen it?
I highly recommend the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. You know what? Because there's not a lot of Thanksgiving stuff. There's a lot of Halloween movies, scary movies, horror movies, TV shows where kids dress up in costumes. And then there's a lot of holiday movies, Christmas movies. This is one of the few Thanksgiving holiday shows. So I highly recommend it. If you can get it, if you can see it, watch it.
You know, that's a good point you make. So AMC Horror Fest is awesome in the month of October. You can flip on AMC anytime, like after 6 p.m. and get one of the, 10 Halloween movies that have been made. A lot of Friday the 13th action. Child's Play, which I'm not a huge fan of, by the way. I'm not a huge fan of Chucky. Like after you watch it once, you're like, okay, a doll comes to life. But then the doll got married and the doll then possessed people. And you're like, all right, enough. I mean, I'm saying this as somebody who, watched Michael Myers' head get chopped off, but then he still came back for the next movie. But the way that this is out of hand, because now AMC has switched to like a holiday and it's all Christmas movies. And we haven't, look, it was Rudolph with Hermie and Yukon Cornelius and the Bumble and all that great stuff. But we haven't even gotten to Thanksgiving yet. I understand that retail stores put the Christmas stuff up, but like, really? You're going to do Thanksgiving dirty like that and just put the Christmas movies on before? I mean, I expect that out of the Hallmark Channel. I mean, you've told me so many times about the Candice Bure movies that you enjoy. And who's the other Hallmark staple actress on there? I'll stop.
I don't even know what channel it is on the Verizon cable system.
But Hallmark is like Christmas all the time. But like to have AMC do Thanksgiving like that, that was disappointing. That's disappointing. Yeah.
It is. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday by far.
Still? What is Thanksgiving looking like for the Flynns this year? You got a big family.
Yeah, we're not getting together for the first time ever. Ugh. It's killing.
And no Turkey Bowl. You guys play the
football Turkey Bowl. Game. This will be the first year without a Turkey Bowl.
Just like the Loyola Calvert Hall.
I know. I just heard about that today.
Thanks, Baltimore County exec. Appreciate it.
Well,
that was nice call.
It's bound to happen. We'll talk about our Thanksgiving in a little bit, but it's always sad when it's not even Halloween yet, and you go into Costco or you go into a store and they already have the Christmas decorations up and you're like, come on, can we at least have Halloween?
I know.
Can we just have Halloween? And what about Thanksgiving? We just skip right over it. So, John, I recommend you to watch the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving just because it's one of the only Thanksgiving shows that you can watch. Hey, Dix, as listeners of the show, people know how much we like lacrosse, but of all the people I know, you're in like the top 1% of all lacrosse fans. I mean, you live it. You played. You're a referee. Your kids.
Know, you just called you me a 1%er. I'm not sure how I should take that.
You're in the top notch. I have a question. Did you ever play indoor? Did you ever play box?
Yeah, I did. Actually, a couple times when I was at Loyola High School, we got to play at the Baltimore Civic Center before a Thunder game. That was one year we played. Man. Boys Latin, and another year we played somebody else, St. Paul's, I think. So yeah, that was really cool. And then I played spent a lot of time at Du Burns Arena, especially after college, playing some box. So yeah, I have
those old Thunder games were the best in the Baltimore Arena.
Good. Oh yeah,
Paul Canabine would give me tickets, and we'd come down there and they were. That was those were fun nights, man.
The pregame introductions was the Thunderstruck.
Yeah,
it doesn't get much better than that.
And while I rooted for the Thunder because of my friend Paul, and he gave me some tickets, and but I always liked the Wings. And did you know that now for the first time ever, you can get official National Lacrosse League fan gear from Fanatics?
Wow.
Yeah,
Fanatics. I did not know that.
Fanatics is the official shop for National Lacrosse League fan gear.
I remember the Detroit Turbos.
Yeah.
The Gate Brothers. And they had this guy, Peter Park, who was like Hakeem Olajuwon he used to like post up and you'd feed him and he just like, distribute the ball. That was great.
Well, I particularly remember the night I went to watch the Thunder, and I believe Brian Volker and Peter Jacobs were playing for the Wings at that time. Yeah. And they were good. And that was my team. So whoever you root for and wherever you live, Fanatics is the official shop to get your stuff. You can show your team pride all day, every day, with certified National Lacrosse League apparel, including hoodies, shirts, half-zip sweatshirts, long sleeves, hats, scarves, and, of course, jerseys. For me, it's all about finding the best quality Wings merch. I'm a lifelong fan and need my fan gear to keep up. With Fanatics, every National Lacrosse League product is priced fairly and made to last. Whether you're getting ready for the 2021 National Lacrosse League season or shopping for a fan in your life, Fanatics ships fan gear right to your door. It's quick, it's easy, and it arrives right at your house, pandemic friendly, from your local delivery guy.
You know what? I may have to get some, I think the San Diego Seals might be my team. Mm. I might have to look into that. I've always liked the Colorado Mammoth.
Yeah, and there's a new team, and Fort Worth has a new team now, the Panther of Lacrosse Club.
I saw that.
They have a cool logo. They probably have some pretty cool gear, too.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, Fanatics is the only place to buy official National Lacrosse League fan gear. Do what I did, do what Dix did. Get yours in time for the upcoming season. Save 25%. 25%, Dix. That is some righteous bucks right there. When you use my promo code IL20 at shopnll.com/IL20. That's shopnll.com/IL20. Use that promo code IL20 to get 25% off. One more time. That's shopnll.com/IL20. Promo code IL20.
Well done. You know how to read a promo.
All right, Dix.
What are some other questions? I think somebody asked about best Thanksgiving sides.
Hey, Dix, I know you want to talk about Thanksgiving. We got a lot of questions about Thanksgiving and food choices. best side dishes.
Go figure.
Best desserts. But I have a lacrosse question for you that I've been meaning to ask you for a while.
I thought you were going to ask me Netflix questions.
So our new coach at
I am watching Hopkins, the Queen's Gambit now. It's really good.
That's quite good, actually.
It's really good.
Quite well done.
Yeah.
Our new coach at Hopkins, Peter Milliman, from his time at Cornell, what did you like about either his style of play or the type of kids that he recruited? And do you think that some of that will transfer to Hopkins or carry on to Hopkins? Can he He obviously had some success at Cornell and was building something there. What do you see in the future for the Blue Jays?
I like the way that I like the speed at which Cornell played under Milliman. They played fast, which put a lot of, which I think it was an exciting brand of offense, but it also puts a ton of pressure on your defense. So whereas criticism in the past of Hopkins would be Blue Jays get a lead and then they start taking their foot off the gas. They start playing conservative, whether that was accurate or not. I don't think that happens under Peter Milliman at Hopkins with the way he wants to play. Now, Tony Seaman adopted that philosophy when he came in back in the early 90s when he was my coach. And what he always used to say was, I want to race up and down the field, but you need the thoroughbreds to do it. So Coach Seaman didn't really think that we had the personnel to do it when he first arrived. So that's what he lent his bend for recruiting. And even though that was 30 years ago, I still think that holds true today. So I think Peter Milliman, you know, and it's going to be hard because, like we said, Hopkins is a team that can't get on campus. They can't get on the field. He can't coach them right now. So trying to gauge what he has is incredibly difficult. And then therefore what he needs, I'm sure they have an idea, but you really want to look at all the guys you have coming back. They do have a couple of transfers that are now in the mix and you have a group of freshmen coming in. So I like the pace with which Cornell played. They played fast. They play very much a basketball offense, a lot of picks, a lot of rubs, a lot of in tight scoring and that kind of thing. So I think that's what we could probably look forward to. You also hired John Grant Jr., a Canadian, a great player, was making his way in the coaching ranks at Air Force. So I think you're going to see a lot of lefties. I think you're going to see Canadians, and I think you're going to see a lot of flair, at least on, as we enter this thing. Now watch, Hopkins gets on the field this year and they're going to, milk the shot clock and shoot the ball when it's 58 seconds expired and all that other kind of thing, or, whatever, 80 second shot clock, 78 seconds expired. It could be completely converse to what I'm saying, but I think that, a coach doesn't change their DNA a whole lot. They may adjust to what they have personnel wise, but I think Hopkins is going to play, I think that's the feeling, that they're going to be up tempo, that they're going to be in your face and play a lot of up and down lacrosse and a lot of motion on offense, ton of motion.
Yeah, he definitely made a splash with the hires of John Grant Jr. and Jamison Kesterer, two really well thought of assistant coaches that, Jamison, a former player, former Blue Jay, kind of keeps a little bit of continuity there. I'm really excited about that. And I hope they get to play. I want to see what they can do. But I do think it's going to take some time. I mean, you and I have talked about it. The preseason All Big Ten team came out last year, and Hopkins did not have a single player.
Have you gotten over that, by the way? You were so downtrodden.
On the preseason conference team, they didn't have a single player, and they need to build up their talent base. They really need to get some studs and some stallions who can get up and down the field. Recruiting is going to be really, really important for them, especially if they want to play that type of style that you were describing. So we'll see where it goes.
Right. I can't wait to see it, both literally and figuratively, because if I'm seeing it, that means lacrosse is back. If we're seeing it, that means lacrosse is back.
Yeah. All right, Dix. Thanksgiving. It's coming up a couple days away. And what are your plans? The Flynns always get together for a massive family gathering. That's always been the one holiday the entire family gets together, and you have no excuses. Everyone comes, whether you bring your significant other, if they can come, your whole family, and everyone shows up. Like Christmas holiday, something like that. That's where you could go to your significant other's house and maybe we'll try to get together whoever was available on Christmas Day to swap some gifts or something. But Thanksgiving, that was the mandatory Flynn family holiday, and it's not happening this year. So I'm cooking dinner myself, and I'm really excited about it. Really excited about it. Went to the store earlier today to get the extra stuff, all the side dishes. And here's my rundown. I'm I'm gonna have stuffing. I've never made stuffing before.
Where'd you find the stuffing, by the way? My wife said she couldn't find stuffing.
Yeah, they were sold out of like the little end caps. I had to ask somebody. I had to ask the manager of the store where I could find stuffing because they were out of just about everything. They didn't even have celery. They didn't have celery.
Really?
So they had like these chopped up canisters that they now sell for like $4 a thing instead of like $3 for the whole big thing. Sorry. Sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made sweet potatoes like that before. I've cooked sweet potatoes before.
Oh, really?
I've never made with the marshmallows and like the holiday type.
I'll give you my wife's recipe for a, if you were interested, for a sweet potato casserole.
Okay.
Delicious.
Send it
around. Brown sugar on top. Mm.
I'm going to do cranberry sauce, green bean casserole, mashed potatoes and gravy. And another Flynn family favorite is like pregame meal, like a relish tray is what we call it. Okay. But it's got your different kinds of pickles on it, your black olives and olives and stuff like that.
Okay.
So the celery with the cream cheese in it. You know, you ever seen that?
Celery with the cream cheese. Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's what we call a relish tray. And I'm going to put that together. Again, and then I'm going to make my first pumpkin pie. I've never made a pumpkin pie from scratch.
Oh, you're doing it from scratch.
I got to make the dough and all that stuff. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah. this is for my wife and my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old. So... I'm going to have a lot of extra food. And I have a 21-pound bird.
Whoa. You got the 39 regular cents size
pound.
Bird.
Yeah, wow. 39 cents a pound.
Okay.
I got my 21-pound bird for $8.10. So
I had to go
big with that one.
I thought I saw you prowling around your neighborhood in an Elmer Fudd outfit looking to shoot a turkey. So it's good to hear that you bought it already.
I've already started the defrosting process and I'm getting ready to brine it on Wednesday.
You got the whole firefighter Al Hernandez. If you're going to deep fry your turkey, I don't know if it's you or anyone else, make sure you defrost the thing is what he said. It's a major fire hazard for people who don't defrost a turkey and then stick it in the fryer.
That could. Thanks for that tip, Coach Hernandez. So what is the Dixon plan?
Well, like you guys, normally I have my parents over, in-laws, cousin, two aunts, my cousin's family. It's just going to be us, you know? And not only is Thanksgiving Day foobard, but the night before Thanksgiving is always the annual homecoming at Loyola High School, where I went to school, the Bull Roast, because it's the night before the Turkey Bowl. Loyola Calvert Hall on the football field. But we knew that the Bull Roast wasn't happening this year. It was going to be, it's virtual, which.
Aren't you the chair of that committee?
I was. I did it for 4 years. I stepped down this year before the pandemic. So that sucks that that's not happening. Sucks now that the Turkey Bowl is not happening.
Yeah.
As my buddy Craig Ronald, we found out the Turkey Bowl was canceled. He goes, what the hell am I going to do with 4 hours on Thanksgiving morning now? Because that broadcast is infinite. I mean, that is the longest high school football game you will ever witness in your life, but it's worth it. You know, WMAR does a great job broadcasting it, but so I'll miss those things immensely. And then Thanksgiving Day, it's just going to be myself and my wife and our two boys, you know, Matt and Owen, you know, 18 and 16. So that's it. And our menu is the turkey, obviously, sweet potato casserole. Now see, you might be made. I don't know, man. You want to do a sweet potato and a mashed potato? I mean, that's two potatoes. Two potatoes there.
I'm going for it.
I got and shot stuffing. Down on that.
And the what? Stuffing. And the stuffing.
Well, you got to have stuffing. So we're doing turkey, sweet potato casserole, stuffing, mac and cheese. My wife makes a four cheese mac and cheese. That's really, really good. Brussels sprouts. So it'll be the Brussels sprouts with the bacon and shallots, which is outstanding.
Okay.
Try to think, am I missing anything? Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's good. We're not as adventurous, with my wife cooking all that other stuff. She's like, you're in charge of dessert. So got an apple pie and a pumpkin pie that we'll hook up. And try to think if I'm missing anything. I did buy a bottle of Screwball peanut butter whiskey today.
Fantastic.
I've never had
it's that. So is good. It good? It's so, the peanut butter stuff is so good.
I'll give it a shot.
Surprisingly good.
I'm giving that a shot. I just got a note. We are also having cranberry sauce. since I'm home, my family can hear me doing the podcast.
Yeah, so is that going to be a homemade or is
it no. That's the
with the ring marks on it.
That's the that is I'm a jellied fan. I don't like the I'm a jellied fan. You kidding?
I specifically got the kind where it like slumps out of the can.
It's completely and it has processed. The ring
marks, the can exactly. marks on it.
Yeah, got that.
Yeah. I love coleslaw. I love coleslaw.
Well, I love so with my mom not some. Coming this year, my mom always makes sauerkraut, and the sauerkraut's fantastic because she's German. But no sauerkraut.
All right, Dix, I think it's time to wrap this up. You know, this time of year, you always want to think about the things that you're grateful for and thankful for. And usually we say something on this podcast, like, oh, I'm just so happy for the sport of lacrosse. And I still am. But, you know, mostly I'm grateful to all the people who are putting their lives at risk, taking care of other people during this pandemic. You know, I have a brother and a sister and some nieces and nephews who are in the healthcare profession and a lot of friends as well. And it's tough, especially right now as this big surge is happening. They're in the middle of it and hospitals are getting busy and filled. And so I'm grateful for all of those people and I'm grateful for my health. I've told a lot of people this because we don't have any basic human contact. I've never been healthier in my entire life than I am in 2020. My kids haven't gotten sick. My wife hasn't been sick. No sniffles, no colds, no runny noses. It's the healthiest I've ever been in probably in my life in an extended period of time. And I'm
make sure you get your liver enzymes checked.
I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that. How about you, Dix?
Same. Just really, you know, not same, but just really grateful for my family. And, you know, it might sound silly, but my older son, Matt, did get a little bit of a soccer season. So I'm grateful for that, that he got to spend, you know, a couple months with, you know, through practice and games with with classmates, teammates, that kind of thing, got out there to be able to compete. My kids have been in school in a hybrid model. So really, really thankful for that. And, you know, again, you know, my parents are healthy. You know, my brother and his family are healthy. So I think that's pretty much the most I can ask for during this time. Health and you know, looking forward, continuing to try. Oh, it's a challenge, but trying to stay positive through this whole thing.
Stay positive and test negative, Dix.
Look at
That's our family.
Did you trademark that? Is that going to be a D-Fly shirt I'm going to see around the King's Contrivance area?
You'll see it probably on the Inside Lacrosse shop soon.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, everybody, be careful this Thanksgiving. You know, make smart decisions and stay safe, stay healthy. If you like what you heard, please hit that like button, leave a review, tell a friend, and share the good word. Now more than ever, it's important for the lacrosse community to rally together. So tell a friend, share the gift of D-Fly and Dixie this holiday season. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your holidays.